Narayana namaskritya Narayachava narottamam Devam sarasatim vyasam Tato jayam udiraye Nasapayi swabhadresu Nitya bhagavata sivaya Bhagavati Uttamas Loke Bhakti Bhavati Nastiki Vede Ramane Chaiva Purane Bharate Tata Hada Chamade Chahari Sabata Giyate Mukam Karuti Vachalam Franku Langate Griya Kripataham Vande Siguru Dinatarine Paramananda Madhava Dhamma Prajita Kaita Bhutra Paramoni Masham Satan Vedan Vastavam Vastu Shivadan Tapatayu Molanan Shima Bhagavati Mahamuni Kinteki Vai Paraiswara Sadhyurudi Abharuta Teta Kipitita Kshanan Nigama Kapatalu Garitam Falam Sukha Mukha Devasam Yitan Pibatam Rasham Bhaktam Rasam Malaya Mahurava Sika Bhuvika Yastava Shamanayam Krishna Paramapurushan Bhakti Uttapati Pansan Soka Moha Bhayapaha Atoyam Brahma Sutanan Bharatata Vininaya Gayati Bhasha Rupo Shavudita Parirvimitam Sabhaviditi Saraham Srimatanishyate Tarasamita Shati Vyutasyanan Yatya Sharati Kachi Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya So we are continuing the reading of Srimad Bhagavatam 8th Canto, Chapter 24, Text 49 the discussion about the lost Matsya avatar, the fish incarnation. So the Lord has appeared as a big fish, very huge fish, big fish. This is the time, at the time of devastation. Because at the end of Brahma's day, it's night time. So all the planetary system, the three planetary system, they all become submerged in water. Everything become covered up. Now, however, in order to preserve for the next manifestation, when Brahma's day comes, then because when his day comes, there will be another manifestation of the universe, whereby the living entities will again be generated to continue their karmic activities. So in order to preserve different species and all that, so the Lord came as a fish incarnation and instructed Satyavrata Maharaj to that there's going to be a big boat, and in that boat all different species of life, they will be preserved. This just like in the Christian Bible, you have the Ark, the Zoas. What is his name? Noah's Ark. You know, the Noah's Ark. You know, when the destruction came, and he was told to build a ship, a big ship, and then within that ship, many living entities will be put into that ship, which means different animals and plants and whatever. So, and of course, this is kind of a materialistic conception, of course, whereas the Puranic narration is much more profound. The Puranic narration of the Lord's incarnation as a matsya, as a fish incarnation, which took place at the end of the universal manifestation. So it's much more profound than what we find in the Bible. So when the Lord has made his appearance in the form of a huge fish, now, so Satyavrata Maharaj, so he's making his prayer to the Lord. And of course, today's prayer is very, very significant. So we just read the Sanskrit, we read the sloka, we chant accordingly. Na yat pasadaya yuta baga leshan anye cha deva gurabo janaha swayam katun sametaha prabhavanti punsas tam ishwaram tram saranam prapadye naya pasada yota bhagavleshan anye cha deva gurabo jana swayam katun sameta pavanti punsa tami swaram tam saranam papadye na not ya pasada of the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ayuta Bhagavalesham, only 1/10,000th, and ye others, cha also, deva, even the demigods, Gurava, the so-called gurus, Jana, the total population, Swayam, personally, Katun, to execute, Sameta, all together, Prabhavanti, can become equally able. Punsa, by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, tam unto him, Ishwaran, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, tam unto him. Yeah, that's better. You cannot hear. Okay. Twam unto you, saranam, shelter, prapadye, let me surrender. Translation and purport by Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. Neither all the demigods, nor the so-called gurus, nor all other people, either independently or together, can offer mercy that equals even 1/10,000th of yours. Therefore, I wish to take shelter of your lotus feet. It is said, Kamasta Tarita Gyanan Papadyante Anya Devata, people in general, being motivated by material desires, worship the demigods to get fruitive results very quickly. People generally do not become devotees of Lord Vishnu, since Lord Vishnu never becomes the other supplier of his devotees. Lord Vishnu does not give a devotee benedictions that will create a further demand for benedictions. By worshipping the demigods, one may get results. But as described in Bhagavad Gita, Antavartu Palantation Tababatyan Apa Medasam, whatever great benedictions one may achieve from the demigods are all temporary. Because the demigods themselves are temporary, their benedictions are also temporary and have no permanent value. Those who aspire for such benedictions have a poor fund of knowledge. Tat Bhavati Alpamedasham. The benedictions of Lord Vishnu are different. By the mercy of the Lord of Lord Vishnu, one can be completely freed from material contaminations and go back home, back to Godhead. Therefore, the benedictions offered by the demigods cannot compare to even 1/10,000th of the Lord's benedictions. One should not, therefore, try to obtain benedictions from the demigods or false gurus. One should aspire only for the benediction offered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 18:66, Savadama Pratyagya, Mamekam Saranam Vraja, Ahantam Sapapebhyo Mokshami Masuchaha, abandon all varieties of religion and simply surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. This is the greatest benediction. Gurave Gurachandraya Hadikayata Dalaya Krishna Ya Krishna Bhaktaya Tad Bhaktaya Namo Nama Omagyana Trimindasya Ganangana Salakaya Chakshusumitanya Natasma Sri Gurave Nama Namamo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pistaya Vitale Shimati Bhaktivinoda Swami Tinamine Namaste Sasari Debe Gauravani Pracharine Nibise Sasunyavari Pasita Desitarine Vancha Kapatri Vesa Kripasini Vachapati Tanam Pono Vibhyo Vasnavya Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Abhita Nagadhara Siva Sadi Gaurabhakta Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Naya Pasad Yuta Bhagalesham Anye Cha Deva Gurus Jana Swayam Kachum Sameita Prabhavanti Punsas Tamishwaram Twansaranam Prapade. Neither all the demigods, nor the so-called gurus, nor all other people, either independently or together, can offer mercy that equals even 1/10,000 of yours. Therefore, I wish to take shelter of your lotus feet. So a devotee is offering prayers unto the Lord. Even though the Lord has assumed the incarnation of a fish, a big fish, still the devotees they don't see the difference. Because the Lord is very, very merciful. So he incarnated in several species of life. Not just one. Normally, of course, his famous avatar incarnation are the human form. Either most of the human form whereby he performed human-like pastimes. Like he came as Vamandev, he came as Ramachandra, he came as of course, Lord Krishna, Krishna Balaram. So many incarnations, like to perform different pastimes like this. He came as Nrisingadev, half man, half lion incarnation. But at the same time, the Lord also appeared in many, many other species, not necessarily human form. Sometimes he came as a horse, he came as a swan avatar, he came as, tortoise, Kuma. He came as a pig, Varaha. So, you know, even though some of these incarnation species may be considered to be low, you know, after all, nobody gave much estimation to, you know, to tortoise or to, you know, pig, and you know, not to talk of fish and all that. But the Lord is transcendental. The Lord is not subjected to all these so-called materialistic calculations. He's transcendental to all those things. And his form is transcendental form. His form is not given by material energy. His form is a completely spiritual form. His form is Sachidananda, Vigraha. So therefore, even though the Lord may appear in a variety of forms like this, in a different space of life, devotees, they recognize. And actually, the Lord makes his appearance only for the purpose, you know, of benedicting his devotees. So therefore, when the Lord appear this way, devotees are very, very happy. They are very, very joyful that the Lord has made, you know, his appearance. And then, of course, then they offer different prayers, just as we are offering here, that we are reading here, whereby Maharaj Satyabrata is making prayers unto the Supreme Lord. So this specific prayer, of course, and especially when we read it, and also we read the purport, so it's very, very significant. And of course, for the devotees, it's full of deep meanings for devotees, whereby the Lord, you know, the Satyabrata Maharaj is specifically talking about the Lord's mercy. And this, the Lord's mercy, even though in this material world, many, many people, demigods, you know, they may want to offer benedictions. Many, many demigods are there offering benedictions or whatever. First of all, their benediction, of course, it's all materialistic in nature, which does not really give a permanent benefit. But at the same time, mentioned here that if all of them put together, because Samaita means all of them put together with all their benedictions, still that cannot be equal to even one tenth of a thousand of the Lord's benediction. So lot of deliberation is there. Of course, Srila Prabhupada gave very, very elucidated purport, whereby he's saying that the conditioned soul, because they are wrapped in ignorance, and therefore, not knowing what is the goal of life, they accept guru or worship some demigods who can juggle some words, you know, and make some display of magic that is wonderful, or sometimes, you know, they worship demigods and all that. Normally in this material world, because everyone simply wants sense gratification, everyone, they want to enjoy, they want happiness. This is the mentality of everyone in this material world. Everyone, okay, I've got this material body, I need to preserve it, and I want good happiness. Good happiness, good prosperity. This is everyone's motivation, this material world. And especially those who are a little bit pious, you know. So they engage in what we call a Dharma Artha Kama Moksha, whereby they engage in religiosity in order to further their economic development. So by engaging religiosity to further the economic development, so they get a good sense of sense gratification. Because most especially, they normally worship demigods. Because demigods, by worshiping them, one can get, you know, benediction from the demigods. One can get materialistic benefit. But however, it so happened that, okay, you worship demigods, whatever benediction they may give you, such benediction have no lasting value. Because why? Because demigod themselves, they don't live forever. Their lifespan is also temporary. And of course, the most demigods, most of them live for maybe 10,000 years of our, you know, of the heavenly calculations. And 10,000 years, according to our earthly calculation, it's like 3.6 million years, according to our calculation. And of course, now another demigod like Indra, so he lived for 71 yugas. 71 yuga is, Sahasra Yuga Paryanta. If you multiply 4.3 million times 71, which means that's like a 360 million years. So that is the life of Indradev. That's the life of Indra. Now, Lord Brahma himself, who is the creator of this universe, so his life, he lives for billions and billions and billions of life. You know, Lord Brahma, he lives for, you know, his calculation of his age, it comes to 311 trillion years. So, you know, Lord Brahma lived forever. He appeared to be forever because he lived for trillions of years. But still, even if Lord Brahma give you benediction, how much longer can that benediction be? Because Lord Brahma himself is not eternal. Like when Hiranyakashipu, when he was asking Lord Brahma to give him immortality, Lord Brahma said, no, I myself am not immortal, so how can I give you immortality? Because myself I'm not immortal. So how can I give you? That's not possible. Because you can only give only what you have. You cannot give what you don't have. If I'm only in possession of a 1,000 rupees, and then you're asking me to give you 10,000 rupees, how's that possible? I only have 1,000. I cannot give you more than what I don't have. So similarly, also people approach demigods and they ask for, you know, benedictions. So the demigods, they are only able to give up to their capacity, not more than that. You see? And of course, as mentioned, that the people in general, first of all, they are afraid to worship Lord Vishnu. They don't want to worship Lord Vishnu. They are afraid. So, because I want to enjoy myself, so I would rather pray to demigods, because I know the demigods, they can fulfill my temporary needs. They can fulfill it. So why should I worship Lord Vishnu? Why? Because Lord Vishnu is very notorious. Because Lord Vishnu, his name is Hari. Hari means one who takes away. You worship him, whatever you have, he takes away from you. So therefore, people don't worship Lord Vishnu. You know? In the 10th canto Bhagavatam, when there was a discussion between the Lord, you know, and some devotees. So the last, Lord Krishna was telling the devotees, he said, Atoman sudrabhyan itranatam bhajate jana tatasta asu tosebhyo labda raja sudata mata pramata varandam vishmayanti abhajanate. So the Lord is saying that, he said, because I'm difficult to worship. I'm difficult to worship. Even the Lord is acknowledging, he said, yeah, I'm very difficult to worship. So he said, people generally avoid me. They avoid me and instead worship other deities. In this case, they worship demigods. So the people avoid me because I'm so difficult to worship. Because why? The demigods, they are quickly satisfied. So when people receive kingly wealth from these deities, they ignore rules, intoxicated with pride, and become neglectful. Even sometimes, they dare to offend the devatas who have bestowed benedictions upon them. You know, just like, you know, one time, you know, Lord Shiva, Brikasura, you know, he worshipped Lord Shiva. So he was worshipping Lord Shiva, and he was performing severe austerity. You know, he was cutting off his own flesh to satisfy Lord Shiva. And then when Lord Shiva was not appearing, He asked Lord Shiva to, then he wanted to cut off his own head to offer it to Lord Shiva. So, because Lord Shiva, of course, is very compassionate, so Lord Shiva appeared to him. He said, oh, my dear Vrikasura, you don't have to cut off your head. What do you want? Why are you meditating on me? What do you want? So this fellow said, well, I want anyone that I touched, I want such person's head to be cut to pieces. Anybody that I touch, I want that person to die by the head, you know, cracking to pieces. And of course, Lord Shiva knows that this demon is asking for these crazy benedictions. But what will he do? Because he had already made his promise, and this fellow was worshiping him. He said, okay, I'll give you the benediction. Now, when Lord Shiva gave him the benediction, this guy now, he said, now this is a good opportunity for him now to take over Lord Shiva's wife. He wanted to enjoy Gauri. He said, okay, let me kill Lord Shiva so that I can take over his wife. I mean, somebody just gave you a benediction, just gave you all the power, and then the first thing you want to do is to kill that person. This is the modern mentality, of course. So Vrikasura started chasing Lord Shiva, started chasing him, wanted to kill Lord Shiva. And because Lord Shiva has given this benediction, so Lord Shiva had to start running away from him, you know, for his life, because, you know. So Lord Shiva was running, and Vrikasura was chasing him. He was chasing Lord Shiva from to different planets. So eventually, came across Lord Vishnu. So Lord Vishnu appeared before them as a very beautiful young boy. So Lord Vishnu stopped me. He said, okay, what's going on here? Why are you chasing Lord Shiva? So Vrikasura said, well, I want to kill Shivaji. I want to kill him because he has given me a benediction that whosoever I touch, that person's head will crack to pieces. So therefore, I want to place my hand on Lord Shiva. So Vishnu said, "Where?" He said, "Well, do you actually trust him? Do you actually trust Shivaji?" Because said, "Of course I trust him. Why not? Why can't I trust him?" So Lord Vishnu said, well, you know what, you can't really trust him. Just see this man, this person, you know. He's giving a benediction, but himself, where does he live? He does not even have a house. He lives in a crematorium, and he's always wearing a garland of skulls. You know, how can you trust him? You can't trust such a person. Just test yourself. Just take my word. One or two, you know, put your hand on your head, you will see that this benediction has no value. Just put your hand on your own head, you will see, just to see yourself. So, and of course, this demon, Vrikasura, because Lord Vishnu came in a very attractive form, so whatever Vishnu said, he believed Vishnu, and then he said, okay, so he touched his own head, and of course, immediately he touched his head, you know, burst open. So this demon was killed this way. So in this way, the demigods, they give benediction, and sometimes such benediction may not be very advantageous. That oftentimes their followers they turn against them. Whereas Lord Vishnu, the Lord is not like that. The Lord does not really like people to come to him for benedictions, so that they will keep coming to him again and again. Because we know that material desire is such that no matter what you have, it's never enough. No matter what you have, is never enough. So when people worship demigods, they say, okay, I want to be rich, I want to be wealthy. So they worship some devas, so they become very rich. And then they attain prosperity. Now, because they become very rich, now again, and then they go back. They say, oh, okay, I have wealth, but at the same time, I need good health. Because even though you may be very, very rich, if you are not healthy, what is the value of your wealth if you are not healthy? So therefore, they go back to demigods, making prayer for another benedictions. And then even though they get a good health, Again, they want, okay, this material world is always full of trouble, that somebody is always chasing you, you know, because in this material world, everyone is always envious of the other person. So therefore, they want protection. They want protection from the enemies. So that is always there. So people, they have so many unending needs, because that is the nature of materialistic life. Because no matter what you have, there's always the need for more. There's always the need for something else. So therefore, Lord Vishnu said, the Lord said, I don't want people to be approaching me again and again for benedictions. So therefore, even if somebody worship me for materialistic benefit, but I say that I fulfill the need of such a person in such a way that the person does not keep coming back to me. I fulfill such a person's need such that the person doesn't keep coming back to me. This is what the Lord says. And of course, the Lord fulfills the needs in a variety of ways. And sometimes, of course, it may give... Now, first of all, when somebody starts worshiping the Lord, let's say for material benefit, just like the case of Dhruva Maharaj, you know, he wanted a material benediction. So he was worshiping Lord Vishnu because he was insulted by his stepmother, because the stepmother will not allow him to sit on the lap of his father. So he became insulted. So he went to the forest and he was performing very intense austerity to have the darshan of Narayan. So even though Narada Muni came to Dhruva and tell him that, look, you are just a young boy, you should go back to the palace, a boy like you do not deserve to be, you know, you're a prince, you should not be in the forest. You should be in the palace and you know, play with toys and all that. Why are you doing here in the forest? Still, Dhruva will not listen. He said, No. He has made a determination that I must see Vishnu, I must see Narayan. So therefore, if you are able, you can give me instruction on how to see Narayan. So because of Dhruva's determination, so Narada Muni, he gave him proper instruction, he gave him proper guidance on how to meditate to see it, so that eventually he can come face to face with Narayan. So eventually, after 6 months of performing intense austerity, Lord Narayan came before Dhruva Maharaj. So Lord Narayan came before Dhruva Maharaj. So upon seeing Lord Narayan, so Dhruva, he became much more than satisfied. He said, wow, he saw the Lord's beauty, the Lord's attraction. So when seeing the Lord's beauty, so Dhruva saying that, oh, I've been praying for materialistic benefit, seeking for materialistic possession, but now seeing you, this is actually much more valuable. It's like all my desire is just like broken pieces of glass, whereas seeing you is like a purposive gem, you know, by seeing you. So which means when the devotee, when they pray to him for materialistic benefit, the Lord fulfill their desire in such a way that devotees' materialistic desire actually go away, so that they just only want to, you know, just want, they only want the Lord only, because all their materialistic needs actually goes away. In this case, so their materialistic needs go away, which means the Lord actually completely fulfill all their desires. Even though, yes, Dhruva Maharaj, he did got a planet, he got a solar system, he did got a planet, which is much more than the kingdom of his grandfather, and his grandfather happened to be Lord Brahma himself, because Dhruva, he was the son of Maharaj, yes, Priyavrata, is it? And Priyavrata's father was Lord Brahma. So, but Dhruva, he got a planet that is even much more wonderful than the planet of his grandfather. Because that planet, there is no birth or death. It's an eternal planet. I want to actually get spiritual happiness there. So during Maharaj, he was awarded this planet, and so was Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj, he was allowed, after the death of his father, he was allowed to be the king of the whole, of the demons. Actually, he was ruling the whole universe at one time. Even Bali Maharaj himself, he was given a planet in Pradaloka, a Switzerland planet. And this planet is also much more valuable than the heavenly planet itself. But even though all these devotees, they were given this great materialistic benediction, but these devotees, they did not desire it. And why did Lord give them? But the Lord gave them just to glorify his own devotees. That yes, his devotees even though they may be given materialistic need, but still they do not become attached to it. They are not attached to such benedictions. So there was one time during Chaitanya Prabhu's Leela. So one time, Mukunda Datta. Mukunda was one of the dear devotees of Lord Chaitanya. And so Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he had come to reside in Navadvip. So one time Mukunda Datta, he told Pundarik, Gadara, that I know a very, very great Vaishnav, that you should come and meet him. So, of course, whenever a Vaishnava, a devotee hear that, oh, there's a great Vaishnava, oh, sure, I definitely want to meet him. So, Mukunda said, okay, let me take you to this great Vaishnava, and then you'll be amazed by him. So, Gadara was very, very happy. So, he followed Mukunda to the house of Gadara. But when he to the house of Pundarik, when he reached his house, Pundarik, he was sitting on a very, very beautiful seat. Very beautiful seat. It's like a throne. And this seat was nice, was well decorated with with all kind of gems. And Pundarik himself, he was wearing a very vibrant, luxurious clothing. Like a king. Very nice, wonderful clothing. And he was being fanned on each side. By two wonderful ladies. They were fanning him, and then he was smoking a very long pipe, like a very materialistic enjoyer. He was enjoying himself. So when Gadara, when he saw this, he was thinking, I thought Mukunda was taking me to a great Vaishnava. But you see, he has simply brought me to a sense enjoyer. Look at the way he's enjoying himself. What kind of Vaishnava is this? So Gadara was thinking this way. Sensing the mentality of Gadara, so Mukunda started reciting the Bhagavatam verse. Which was this verse, which was recited by Uddhava. No, the last line is Kan Dayalu Sradam Prapadye. This verse, which indicating of how Putana, he went to Braj, and when he went to Braj, she went to Braj, Putana. She went to Braj with the intention of killing Krishna. But she had gone in a motherly, because she disguised herself as a mother. So she went to Vrindavan, and then she tried to feed Krishna with the poison. But Krishna, as a baby Krishna, Krishna killed Putana, of course. But at the same time, Krishna gave her the greatest benediction. And that benediction was that the Putana became one of Krishna's mother in the spiritual world. So, whatever was saying that who else can I take shelter of than such a person who gave you such a high benediction to someone who had gone to him with a bad intention, but he gave her the topmost benediction by making him one of his mother in the spiritual world. So therefore, who else can I take shelter of? So when Pundarik, when he heard his prayer, he was immediately filled with transcendental ecstasy. He totally lost himself. You know, he was exhibiting so many transcendental symptoms. Whatever, you know, all the items which he had in front of me, he threw all of them away, all the pots, you know, he broke them, they all broken, his clothing, you know, he was tearing them all to pieces, which means he was totally oblivious to whatever he surrounded, to whatever he was wearing, totally oblivious to that. So it was not, which means he was not really that, even though he was wearing so-called royal purple and royal clothing, but it was totally of no concern to him because he was situated in his own internal transcendental inner consciousness. So, just to cut the story short, when the Gadara, when he saw this, when he witnessed this, he said, oh, such a great Vaishnava. I thought that he was just an enjoyer, but he's actually a great Vaishnava. So therefore, then he said, I've committed a great offense by doubting a great devotee. So therefore, he said that the only way I can neutralize this offense is by becoming a disciple of this person. So therefore, Gadara Prabhu, he decided to become a disciple of Pundari. So therefore, we have many, many stories like this in the life of the Vaishnava. And then, of course, another story is there. Actually, I took so many notes for this class. Another story is there was when Lord Shiva, he had given a benediction. Because one Brahmana, he had gone to Lord Shiva. And this Brahmana was actually very poverty-stricken. And this Brahmana, he had a young daughter that needed to get married. He needed to get married, but he doesn't have money to marry his daughter. So this Brahman, he went to Lord Shiva. He was praying to Lord Shiva that, please, Shivaji, give me wealth. Give me wealth so that I can get my daughter married. So Lord Shiva, of course, then instructed him. He said, okay, there's one great Vaishnava, he lives in Durban, and his name is Sanatana Goswami. And this Vaishnava, great Vaishnava, he has got a touchstone. He has got a stone. So you go to him and request him to give you this stone. So you just go to Vrindavan and ask him. So believe in Lord Shiva. So this Brahmana, he went to Sanatana Goswami. He went to Vrindavan and was asking everyone that, where is Sanatana Goswami? Where is Sanatana Goswami? And the Brijibai said, because Sanatana Goswami, he does not have a permanent residence. He lives under different trees every night. They say, well, he goes around there. Maybe you may see him on the bank of Yamuna. So this Brahmana was going. He was looking at the bank of Yamuna. Then he saw Sanatana Goswami. He said, oh, Babaji Maharaj, I'm very, very happy. This is my great fortune to meet you. And Lord Shiva has sent me to you. Because I'm very poverty stricken. So Lord Shiva said, you have got a wonderful thing that you can give me so that my poverty condition can be relieved. So Sanatana Goswami said, well, what are you talking about? I have nothing. I'm a Vairagi. I only have one piece of cloth and some pot. I have nothing. I don't even have a house. I only sleep under different trees. So what can I give you? I have nothing to give you. So this Brahman said, no, Lord Shiva cannot tell lie. You have got something. Lord Shiva cannot lie. Yeah, because you've got something. So, of course, Sanatana Goswami, when he heard that the Lord Shiva had sent him, so he was thinking that, what is Mahadev? What is he saying? And then he was meditating. He said, I remember there was one day, that time he was he was bathing Yamuna, and there's one stone that kept coming to his feet. So this stone kept coming to his feet. So Sanatana Goswami said, well, this actually is very, very bad deal for me. Because I saw this stone kept coming to my feet. Even though I kept kicking the stone away, the stone kept coming back. But what I did was, I took this stone, I put it inside the mud of Yamuna, on the bank of Yamuna. So if you are lucky, you can go to the bank of Yamuna, you can dig it out. If you are lucky, you can find it out. So this Brahmana, so he went to the Yamuna bank, and he was digging. So he found a stone. And he was very, very happy. When he found the stone, the first thing he touched to an iron. So this stone immediately became gold. So this Brahmana, everything he was touching, the thing was becoming gold. So the Brahmana became exceedingly, very, very happy. Oh, now, my poverty condition, now I can become solved. So he was so happy that he was going to his house. And then as he was going, he was thinking, if this stone happened the most wonderful thing that Lusaneta Goswami have, why will he throw it away? Why will he just throw it away and just put it in the mud of Yamuna? So that Lusaneta Goswami must be having something much more greater than this stone. So he said, okay, therefore, let me go back to Lusaneta Goswami. So he went back to Lusaneta Goswami. He said, Maharaj, this stone, if it's so wonderful, why did he throw it away? So you must be having something much more better than this stone. Please give it to me. So Santa Goswami said, okay, you want something much more wonderful? The Brahmana said, yes, I want something much more than wonderful. So Santa Goswami, okay, therefore, you throw away this stone, you throw it away, and then you come back to me. So because this person, he had developed faith in Sananda Goswami, so he threw away the stone and then went back to Sananda Goswami. And then Sananda Goswami said, okay, now, this is the most wonderful thing. Now you repeat after me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You chant this mantra constantly every day. You will see a big change. You see a big change in your life. So, this Brahmana, because of his faith, which he had developed in Sananda Goswami, and of course, due to his good fortune of being sent by Lord Shiva, so therefore, this person was chanting, following the guidance of a pure devotee, so he became a great devotee himself, became a great saint. So in this way, when we approach the Lord or his devotees for materialistic desire, this is how they fulfill our desires, whereby we actually have that thing that is much, much greater than just some temporary materialistic benefit. So when they are seeking wealth, what is the wealth they are seeking? Is that wealth of Krishna prem? Therefore, it's mentioned that that the bhakti yoga is that by which a person develops a wonderful love of Krishna. So therefore, devotees, actually, it's mentioned in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam that when someone started becoming a devotee of Krishna, that the first thing the Lord does is that he made that person become a poverty stricken. He made that person become poor so that he will be rejected by all the family members, by all the friends, by all the society. And because he has nothing, he has nobody else than to turn his attention to the lotus feet of the Lord. The very famous verse, Yashaham anugrinami arishita danam sanai tato danam tajanti yasha swajana duka dukitam. He said, if I especially favor someone, I gradually deprive him of his wealth. Then the relatives and friends of such a poverty-stricken man abandon him. In this way, he suffers one distress after another. So this is a very wonderful text that you find in the 10th canto of Bhagavata. Anyway, I'm going to stop here because we can go on and on and on and on. Time to deliberate on this text. So if anyone has any question or comment, you can please ask. Yeah. Yeah, because as mentioned that. Well, I mean, generally people do not pray to Krishna, did not pray to Vishnu, because you pray to Vishnu, even though you come to him for materialistic benediction, whatever you have, he may take it away from you. So therefore, they don't worship him. They rather worship demigods, because demigod, whatever you need, they give you. You want money, they give you money. You want good health, they give you good health. That's what they do. But however, such benedictions are temporary. They are temporary because demigod themselves, they are also temporary. However, there is a nice verse in Bhagavatam whereby he said that Akama Sava Kamova, Moksha Kamuidaradi, Tivrena, Bhakti Yogena, Yajetam Purusham. Pardon that. Even a person may have all desires, either desires or no desires, then you should still worship the Supreme Lord. That yes, you may have all kinds of materialistic desires, that you should engage in the worship of the Lord. This is the conclusion of the Bhagavatam. You know. But people who are less intelligent, it's called apamedasham. People whose intelligence are very, very meager, they engage in the worship of the demigods, because thinking that demigods are very easily accessible, so I can worship them, they will give me all my needs. But eventually, such benedictions are not usually beneficial. So therefore, devotees do not waste their time in the worship of the demigods. They simply apply all their energy in the worship of the Supreme Lord. Okay? So anyway, so thank you very much. Grantrasim Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gopi Menende, Hare Krishna.